We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We're part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm Ricky O'Donnell. As always, I'm here with Jason Pett. And Jason, we're talking about preseason takeaways. I think most listeners to our podcast could sense that me and you were not super amped up for this Bulls season coming into the preseason because their offseason was pretty disappointing. Only adding Goran Dragic and Andre Drummond to the mix from a team last year that didn't put up much of a fight in the first round.
And Dalen Terry.
Was a bit underwhelming. Dalen Terry as well at pick number 18. But for the Bulls to truly meet last year's standard and perhaps exceed it, they were going to have to bank on some internal improvement and a few other factors. And in the preseason run, Jace, I got to say, I'm feeling a little bit better about our Bulls.
The Bulls are back.
Because of some internal improvement. Javonte Green looks better than ever. Io, entrenched as a starter now. He looks better in multiple areas. Patrick Williams, maybe better based off his last preseason game. We'll see. That was against sort of the Bucks G League team. And just, you know, in general, I think that the vibe's trending up after a generally strong preseason. What stood out to you, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I would agree. Like, I tweeted last night after the Bulls' last preseason game, as you said, against the G League Bucks. They literally, their starting lineup was like Jordan Wara and like Samu and Javon Carter. Basically, all their good guys rested. And it was a close game at halftime. Bulls pulled away in the second half. We saw some nice things, though, from it, which we'll talk about a bit more. But overall, after this game, I was like feeling a little bit better about the Bulls. Like I said, I don't think, like, I'm not going to go say that like Stacey said they're going to be a 50 win team. Obviously, he's got to be the hype man playing the company hype man. I don't think they're going to win 50 games after what they did in preseason, but like, they could maybe add a win or two to their total. Like, maybe from like, I was thinking like 43 ish wins. Maybe it'll get me to 40, 44, 45. Just, yeah. I mean, the style they were playing was pretty fun. I mean, they were, even without Lonzo Ball, they were constantly pushing the pace. You mentioned Javonte Green. I mean, he was all over the place. I mean, I think we know in general Javonte is limited, but like it almost seemed he had added some stuff to his bag. Like, we saw him drive to the basket and finish. We saw him splash a three-pointer, like coming around a screen and catching and shooting. I was like, what the hell is this? Like, maybe this is just a preseason thing, and like him going harder than like everybody probably stands out even more in preseason when maybe not guys aren't going quite as hard. Like, I mean, he was just wreaking havoc in transition lanes, dunking, hitting threes. I don't remember not sure what his exact numbers ended up being, but like he was like 17 of 22 from the field through the first three games. Like, just, he was great. You mentioned Io looks awesome. He just looks bigger. He looks pretty fast. His jumper looks improved. I know the volume still wasn't totally there, but it just like looks a lot better. So at least aesthetically, he looks better. I expect him to be better for sure. Even the new guys, after the first preseason game, like Dragic looked awful. He looked totally terrible. Drummond looked annoying, frustrating. Like both those guys did some really nice things in the games after that. Dragic did sit out one of those games. The third game? I'm already blanking on who the hell that was. The Raptors. I believe he sat out that game. But like Dragic was good against the Nuggets. He was pretty good against the Bucks last night. And Andre Drummond, 3-point specialist these days, knocking down all three of his 3-pointers against the Raptors, and not just like knocking them down, like he was splashing them in, like looked like good form. This is a guy who is shooting 13% for his career. We know he's like historically bad from the free throw line. He's just draining these open threes. I'm like, maybe the Bulls did add some shooting this offseason in the form of Andre Drummond. Don't want to go too crazy there, but like, I mean, if he's open, take them. Because like in that Raptors game, I had like made a joke. They were trying to use Patrick Williams as like a screener for like, I think, DeMar or Zach. And like they had Andre Drummond like spacing, quote unquote, spacing to the corner. I mean, why would you ever do that? Like, that's just going to clog the lane. That doesn't seem like it would work. And then Andre Drummond hits 3 3-pointers after that. So those two guys, those two additions looked better. Like I said, it's preseason. Maybe when teams ratchet things up, they'll look more washed as the season goes on as like veterans, but they looked at least a little better, not completely toast. So that's good. Dalen Terry, a lot of fun to watch. Again, not sure how much time he'll get in the rotation. We'll see, but like he's a guy who just seems like he kind of just does stuff. He can kind of make stuff happen with his activity level. Another transition guy that it was in that third game, that Raptors game, where they were playing like, it was like Dalen, Io, I think Kobe, Derrick Jones Jr., and maybe Javante or Drummond, something like that. And they just were like running all over them, the transition stuff, because they have a lot of athletic guys just worried about their shooting. And then I guess Pat showed some nice things against the Bucks. He had those few dunks in a row where he just went up strong. I will talk about Pat specifically a little more later, but those are just my general vibes. And then in general, like DeMar looks picking up right where he left off. Contract year Vooch, he had a great preseason. His shot was looking great. He was playing really well overall. So like, I can't say there's anyone who had like an awful like preseason. Like Kobe, I guess Kobe did have a nice game against the Nuggets. Wasn't very good against the Raptors, and like he started bad against the Bucks, and then kind of heated up at the end there. But even like I wouldn't say he was bad. So like there was no. I mean, I guess if anyone looked bad, it was Zach as he works his way back from this knee surgery. Like he was really bad against the Raptors. So like, but everyone else like did show some promise there. And obviously we're going to hope that Zach does find a groove here. He did not play in that last game. Neither did DeMar. Maybe we'll have to be patient with him as he finds his rhythm again from this knee surgery, because he did look not like himself. But otherwise, like, yeah, they looked pretty good after like that first game against the Pelicans, that first like half, they give up however many points. It's like, oh, here we go. They look like shit. But like the Pelicans could be really good. And that was just one half. And these other games, we saw some nice things.
Yeah, I guess my big takeaway was the execution and the rebirth of the transition game without Lonzo Ball. And I think that that is one of the most important factors for the Bulls this year, is to become less reliant on DeMar and Zach Hero Ball. And when the Bulls really fell apart in the second half of last season, the offense really stagnated. Yep. I believe it was a February when DeRozan was just totally killing it. And then in March, he had like his one bad month where he wasn't playing up to his standards the rest of the season.
Yep.
But when the Bulls started to fall apart, it's like the offense really bogged down because it all revolved around DeMar. The transition game that was there when Lonzo was still healthy was nowhere to be found. And when that collapsed, it's like, really, like the Bulls at their best last season, when they were running, their defense fueled their offense. It wasn't just DeMar picking his spots in the half court. They also got a lot of easy buckets. And that's what we saw in this preseason. Last night against the G League Bucks, granted, not a lot of talent on the team they were throwing out there, but 25-8 fast break points, the Bulls won. So I think that getting the fast break stuff in the transition game dialed in, having your defense lead to offense, is super important. We saw it a couple times in the game last night where It looked like Patrick Williams and Io were like coached to just leak out and take off. And
they got a nice home run pass. Home run pass from Vooch to Pat Williams.
And you would think like the rebounding should be a little bit better.
Drummond.
If they go 48 minutes of Vooch and Drummond. I think both Vooch and Drummond, like if they're coached to throw the outlet pass and to like really try to like feed it to the guys filling the lanes in transition, I think those guys can hypothetically sort of make that pass. I'm sure it'll get a little too ambitious at times with Drummond.
With Drummond especially, yeah.
But both of them like sort of have some passing skills for sure, especially for centers. So that was my biggest takeaway. It was like, let's get this transition attack going again. And the Bulls really do have some great athletes when everyone's healthy. I mean, we'll talk about Javonte, and we probably should shift this to Javonte talk now, because to me, he's the biggest story of the preseason.
I mean, first of all, my last point about the transition. I mean, we kind of crapped on the Dragic thing, and I still, who knows how good he'll be. We know he's a guy who likes to run and get out and push the ball. So like, yeah, he's 36. We'll see what he can do over the course of a season. But like, that is at least his mindset, is to get out and push the ball. So like, hopefully he can help play into that. Javonte, yes. We haven't even talked about it. Yeah, we mentioned Pat. We mentioned Javonte. Is Billy's decision to bench Patrick Williams in favor of Javonte, and Javonte coming out, and we'll see who starts at power forward. Javonte's earned the starting power forward spot, I think. So like, we will see there if they do go that route. I know Derrick Jones Jr. also started one of the games, but I think that was just Billy just kind of like seeing what's going on. But Billy makes this move to Javonte, and he was awesome all preseason. And like I said, Pat did not have a good, like he was kind of hit or miss. Like he had the big game against the Bucks, and he did start that game, obviously with the other guys missing time. But I guess just your general thoughts on that decision just to begin with, and like whether you think that should continue and whether Javonte should start.
Love it all the way around. Javonte should absolutely start. Pat will be more set up for success going against second units, I think, which will be a new thing for him in his career.
Yep.
Because from the moment he was drafted, he's been a starter, right? So him playing with the second unit and going against second units, hopefully staggering his minutes with DeRozan a bit, because I think that that's where Pat sort of struggles, is his skill set overlaps a bit with DeMar. So I even love it from Pat's perspective, and Pat seems to have the right attitude about it. Of course, you can say, well, you know, Pat should be more pissed off about this. Like, you're a top five overall pick, you're losing your job to a dude who like didn't even crack the NBA until he was 25 or something. And Javonte, you know, he was totally a journeyman, not like a high pedigree lottery pick the way Pat was. But both Pat and Javonte have said, you know, it's just about helping the team win. And in my opinion, starting Javonte and bringing Pat off the bench is going to help the team win. And really, this is about Javonte, who last year was pretty damn solid for the Bulls. Like he was found money for them.
Yep.
He's now 29 years old, and coming into this season, you're like, okay, well, I don't know if Javonte can really get any better. Last year, started 45 games. He made 35.6% of his threes, but he was 36 for 101 from deep. So he was a pretty tentative outside shooter. Yeah. He's a 6'4" guy, essentially playing power forward for you. And like I said, 7.2 points a game. So like, you know, not really a big time scorer and not someone who's really going to create his own offense. But what's great about Javonte is he's an A-plus athlete and an A-plus hustle guy. And dare I say, Jason, that combination I think will pay dividends in any sport, even if you're not that skilled. If you're the most athletic guy on the court or on the field, and you play the hardest out of anyone on the court or on the field, you're probably going to be pretty good regardless of what the sport is. And that's what Javonte brings to the table. He is a truly fucking sick run and jump athlete.
He dunked from the free throw line almost in the preseason game.
Totally crazy. He's got completely ridiculous hops. We need Javonte in the dunk contest, because as a 6'4" guy, his dunks will actually look cool. And he's got something to prove now, you know, going into a contract year. And the contract year there, I think, is interesting too, because if you're Javonte, you're like, all right, just the fact that I like carved out an NBA rotation spot at 28 years old is pretty amazing. Started 45 games. Who would have thought? He was a throw-in in the Daniel Tice deal that sent, you know, Gafford out, Troy Brown in. He was totally an afterthought and was not someone I even expected them to bring back for another season after that trade, because Billy didn't really play him at all in that midseason, in those midseason wheelings and dealings when the Bulls first landed Vooch. He was found money for the Bulls last year, and now he looks even better. He seems more confident as a three-point shooter. Obviously, that's the skill Javonte should have worked on over this offseason, and it seems like he did. You noted the versatility of how he's getting some of his shots. We'll see if that sticks into the regular season, but just the fact that he looks more comfortable shooting the ball, whether it's off the bounce or a little bit off movement on the perimeter, I think is super huge for the Bulls. And we know he hit a decent percent last year with, you know, 35, 36% from deep. Okay, can you do that again if you double the volume? Can you do that again if you triple the volume? And last year, he only played 23.4 minutes a game. So, like, how many minutes can he play
at that intensity?
His all-out intensity without, like, that dropping off. But one thing I'll say, Jace, I went back and looked at the playoff statistics. Javonte only played 14 minutes a game in the playoffs. So obviously the Bulls had Pat at that point. And for whatever reason, I think they decided, well, Javonte is one of these guys who can't play in the playoffs because teams won't respect his three-point shot. And in the playoffs, I think he went like 1 of 7 or 0 for 7 from 3.
And just like small power forward against that Bucks team is just like a tough hang. So like, not a great matchup for him.
But, you know, maybe that's part of the reason the Bulls got their ass kicked. Maybe they needed more Javonte.
I don't know.
Provides a component that no one else on the team is capable of providing. I guess maybe Derek Jones could. Derek Jones does have the A-plus athleticism like Javonte, and he's a little bit bigger. And I like Derek Jones, and I hope he's in the rotation this year. But Javonte's a better, he's better on the perimeter offensively than Derek Jones is. And he just has like a little bit more of a nose for the ball, which is sort of unquantifiable, but it's like Javonte, the energy he brings is just absurd.
He comes in and like immediately he like finds the ball, like something, whether it's a cut, whether it's like a, whatever, a rebound, like a transition dunk. It just seemed like it's, in this preseason, especially like he would come in and just like immediately would be doing stuff. Another guy who just like does stuff and you like notice him, which is sometimes the problem with Pat, is just like you don't notice him too often, and Javonte is just like always doing shit.
So I think that like Javonte's skill set just fits better around DeMar and Zach and Vooch as a guy who like doesn't really need the ball to be effective, right? Javonte can impact the game without having the ball, and when you have three high usage guys with DeRozan, LaVine, and Vooch, you know, you're just not going to get that many opportunities to create with the ball in your hands. Now, that's where I think Pat actually has some upside. And I said this last night, like Pat's whole draft stock was based around flashing in a lot of different areas, right? Like he had some of the on-ball creation glimpses where you think, you know, could this guy be a wing like Jason Tatum, where you just give him the ball and he's essentially playing point guard? Some nice live dribble passing. He could get into the mid-range game. Occasionally he could get all the way to the basket and finish. He would flash some catch and shoot spot up potential. And look at Pat's numbers from last year. He hit like 44% of his threes, obviously barely played, played 17 games, but he's always been a pretty accurate shooter, but just never a good shooter because he can't shoot with any volume. And then, you know, he's also flashed some big man skills, whether it's on offense, like being able to finish above the rim on putbacks and on rolls as a screener, and then defensively some supplemental rim protection. So he's flashed in all these areas, right? But he's never actually been consistently good in any of them. And to me, the weakest part of Patrick Williams' skill set is his catch and shoot jump shot. The role that Billy Donovan has put him in over the last, you know, season especially, has been as a spot up shooter. You're not going to really get to touch the ball, Pat. The ball is going to go through DeMar, Vooch, and LaVine. And so Pat has added space from the corner. And as I've been saying on this podcast for years, basically play the role that like Mikal Bridges plays for the Suns. Well, it would be great if the Bulls had a guy like that, but that's not Pat's skill set. Pat is good at a lot of
things. I mean, he is a good shooter. I feel like he's just still too hesitant. I feel like he was a little less hesitant. I don't know what his three-point shooting numbers are like.
Why is he a hesitant shooter? Because he knows he's not that good. So like, even if the percentage looks solid, he's only taking like really
wide open looks.
And like at the end of the day, that's like people saying like, oh, they're like complaining about the Celtics turnovers, right? Like the Celtics being sloppy for the turnovers in the finals. Like they're just not that good if you're turning it over all the time like that. So I think the weakest part of Pat's game is a spot up shot. And you need a guy who can spot up around the Bulls three stars in the starting lineup. So I love the idea of Pat coming off the bench. Yes, maybe he gets to work with the ball in his hands a little bit more, but maybe he plays some more minutes as like a big. And especially if Drummond is going to space now, maybe Pat can roll a little bit. And against the Bucks, Pat had several highlight reel plays where he was acting as the lone big man in sort of a four out scenario where, you know, he's the guy setting the screen. And, you know, exploding to the basket, dunking the shit out of the ball. Patrick Williams, you are big and pretty explosive. Dunk the shit out of the ball. That's what you should be doing. And then he had another sick lefty drive where he finished with the left.
It's like a dribble handoff, I think.
That was like going that. Against a center. He like burned a center off the dribble. So like, I think that his off the dribble game could benefit a little bit from going in second units too.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Last thing I'll say on Pat and Javonte, I want them together, baby. I want to see Pat at center, Javonte at the four, LaVine and DeMar on the wings, and Caruso at point. That's the lineup I want to see for the Bulls this year, because I feel like every team needs a good small ball lineup. And of course, when the Bulls got Drummond, it's easy to think, okay, we got 48 minutes of Drummond and Vooch. I do want to see a little bit of Pat at the five, though. Yeah. Magic calls for it. Of course, you could go DJJ at the five, too. And Derrick Jones look good at the five. But I'd like to see, you know, Pat, he should be a little bit more stout inside than Jones is defensively.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's got more shooting and more off the dribble game on offense.
Yeah.
So like he could attack slower footed centers if he's playing the five. And, you know, we'll see if the rebounding holds up or whatever, or if the rim protection holds up, but like give that a chance. So I want to see that small ball lineup.
Yeah.
Too.
When it comes to Pat, I think his offense, I think we saw what they, and you've obviously just kind of mentioned a lot of this, is getting him on the move, getting him, whether it's as a screener, that one of the lefty dunk, I believe he was coming either like a dribble handoff or coming around a screen or something like that against a big man. And he was able to drive past him. We saw him leak outs. We saw some putbacks, all that kind of like more like garbage man stuff. And getting him on the move. Because I think we saw when he did try to like take guys one-on-one, it was not good. Just like giving, if you really just like giving him the ball on the wing and him trying to create for himself, it was not good. So like that might be a bit much for him to start. Like maybe down the road, a little more development, tightening the handle, stuff like that. Maybe that will get better. right now it seems like he does. They got to draw up stuff to get him, whether it is as a screener, because there was a time, I know there was a play where he screened and then he sealed. They got a switch and it might have been Javon Carter. They throw it and he's got a huge advantage on him. They throw it down there, either gets fouled or he scores. Working to get him into mismatches, keeping him on the move, getting him out in transition with those leak outs. That seems like, and then obviously they will need him to shoot open threes. That seems like the best way to get him going against lesser defenders should probably help that. So like when they first, Billy still made that switch, I was initially like, oh wow, like they're really doing this. And like, it wasn't sure to think about it, but you think about it more and it's clear that Pat is just like, he's not going to take a star leap this year. I don't think, at least not right away. He's not ready to make that leap yet. Because there are still moments where when he's playing with the main guys, he just doesn't do anything still. And it's still just way too quiet. He just doesn't really have it with those guys yet. So like, move him away from the stars, get him a bit more involved against lesser guys, build up some confidence, get him developing that way. And then maybe like, just because if Javonte starts at the start of the year, doesn't necessarily mean he has to start at the end of the year. Like if Pat does like start him off the bench and he finds a nice rhythm. I mean, maybe if they did that, they would just keep that all year, but like maybe at some point down the line, getting into crunch time, playoff time, maybe then Pat would end up becoming a starter. But after thinking about it more and after just kind of watching and just seeing Pat continue to just kind of blend it, like just kind of float around when he's playing with the main guys, it does seem like getting him on those second unit, getting the transition, if he's playing with like Dragic and Kobe, Drummond, like you said, Javonte, these other guys, maybe that will help him actually develop that offensive game and find that aggressiveness that just as clearly just is missing when he's playing with the star guys. And like, naturally that's going to be the case. He's not going to get as many touches, but even then, I mean, it would be nice to see him do some of this other role guy stuff with those stars. I saw our guys, Mark and Laro, kind of arguing over Pat and like, how can he do this with the star players and all this kind of stuff? Like, can he play like Javonte? And like, it might be a bit of a transition for him. It could be tough. He does not have the Javonte mindset of going 110% every play.
He also doesn't have the Javonte speed or quickness or bounce.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody does. That's besides for Derek Jones, who also does. It's like Javonte is a 99th percentile NBA athlete. And that's how you can cut it as a 6'4" power forward. Yeah. And that's how you can come out of fucking Radford and play in all these international stops and still grind your way to an NBA opportunity. So, I mean, the great thing about Javonte, like I said, is he doesn't need the ball to impact the game.
Yeah.
And you know who needs the ball to impact the game? DeMar DeRozan. You know who else does? Nikola Vucevic. You know who else does? Zach LaVine. So there's one ball. And you know who else does? Patrick Williams, I think. So I love everything about this. I think huge credit to Billy for having the balls to do it, really. And now it's on Billy to get Pat cooking and like find one thing Pat's good at. Like, he's hypothetically good at a lot of things.
Yeah.
He's actually good at nothing. Not yet.
Yeah, right.
So let's end this season saying, all right, we know Patrick Williams is a plus front court defender, right? Like, now we can say, like, yeah, he looks pretty good on defense, but you can't conclusively say Patrick Williams is a clear plus on the defensive end. I hope we end the season being able to say that.
Yeah.
I hope we end the season being able to say, you know what? Patrick Williams is really good as a role man, or Patrick Williams is really good as a pull-up mid-range shooter. Like, Pat needs to find the spots on the floor where he can be effective. And really, like, Billy needs to put him in those positions to succeed. Like, maybe Pat does not have that dog in him. And oftentimes that's a kiss of death. But he is big enough and skilled enough to find success in the NBA if someone helps him get there. And I do not think the coaching and the usage of Patrick Williams has done him any favors in his short NBA career. And it's easy for fans to look at him and be like, this guy's a fucking bust. Like, how are you getting beat out by Javonte Green? Why don't you like play harder or like be more aggressive or do something? I just hate the be more aggressive thing. Like, I find that analysis so reductive. And it's easy to say, but it's also like, okay, dude, his role is as a spot up shooter and he sucks at shooting. Like, even if the percentage is good, like, he turns down open ones because he knows he sucks. So I feel like it's really on the coaching staff with Pat, and they maybe took the biggest step, which is putting Javonte in the lineup over him, because Javonte gives the team a better chance to win. And the other thing with Pat is, like, if I told you when the Bulls drafted Pat that he would be a second contract guy, that he'd be a guy who got good after he signed a second deal, you would not have found that totally unbelievable, given the fact that he was the youngest American-born player in the 2020 draft. So development's not always linear.
Nope.
You would love for Pat to, like, morph into this, like, sick three-point shooting stud defensive star while DeMar is still in his prime, his extended prime. But shit, man, if it doesn't happen, there's still a scenario where Patrick Williams could turn out to be a pretty decent player for the Bulls. And I really think that this move to the bench is the best thing for him in the short term.
Yeah, we'll see. Any other, like, thoughts on the new guys, Dragic, Drummond, Dalen, Triple D?
I guess my IO thing. I got an IO.
Yeah.
I have notes on it somewhere because I don't have the exact numbers pulled up. Maybe I should pull them up. Anyways, IO. So last year, IO was in like the 93rd percentile on cleaning the glass of combo guards on pull-up shooting accuracy. But he was like in the 35th percentile on pull-up shooting frequency for combo guards. So what I want to see from IO is for him to remember that he's a fucking All-American. That he is...
that was his bread and butter.
Dominant college basketball player by scoring inside the arc and sort of outside of the paint. So you look at the numbers for IO as a rookie. He was very good at getting to the rim and finishing at the rim. He basically never went to his mid-range game, but when he did, he was very efficient. And then the three-point shot, you know, needed to up the volume, wasn't super confident in the three-point shot, but also wasn't terrible. I think the three-point shot for IO looks undeniably better. Last year, the numbers 2.4 attempts per game, 37.6%, which is wonderful. 37.6% is awesome. Can you do that and get that up to four attempts per game at 37%? That would be incredible, if possible. And then, like, IO, look for your own offense a little bit more. Like, last year, he was just trying to get in where he fit in as a rookie second-round pick. This year, dude, you're the starter. Like, personally, I still think Caruso should start. It just makes more sense to me to have his awesome defense going against second units. But they're going with IO. I'm cool with that, too. I think IO is a good option, for sure, as starting point guard while Lonzo's out. And I want him to sort of hunt his own offense a little bit more, because last year, per 36 minutes, IO 11.6 points per game. Can his per 36 points per game this year be like 17, 18? Like, he's just got to be, I hate to say it, but now I'm going to say it, more aggressive.
Looking for hypocrite.
His own pull-up offense, because...
And that was his game at Illinois. That was like his shit. Like, he was a mid-range clutch assassin. That was like, and he would make it at a really high rate. I'm assuming just like as a rookie last year, just it was kind of in him to defer to the proven guys, and that like maybe with like NBA, just like mid-range isn't as like obviously not as don't want to do it as much. Obviously, DeMar can do it, but like if you're taking mid-range in the NBA and you're like not hitting at 50%, it's like please don't do that. So like I don't know if that was coached out of him, but it's like again, that was a huge. Huge part of his game at Illinois was that pull-up mid-range jumper, and especially at the end of games. So, like, we know he did it at the college level. He did it well in lower volume at the NBA level. Absolutely should look for a shot more, whether it's mid-range, driving. I mean, just in general, he could look, I think from any area on the court, can absolutely look to get his own a bit more.
And then other takeaway, DeMar is still going to be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he looks great.
I mean, DeMar is going to kill it.
Yeah.
And you just want to have an offense that's not just DeMar.
Yeah.
Because in crunch time, it's going to be DeMar. And when the shot clock breaks down late, it should be DeMar. But it can't just be DeMar. And if that's the case, the Bulls aren't going to be very good again. Just like they weren't in the second half when the offense mostly revolved around DeMar. So I think it's a big year for Billy. I keep saying it, like, the honeymoon period's over for Billy. I like Billy, but I'm also one of these people who thinks, like, we should fire coaches sooner. Like, there's a ton of coaches out there. If it doesn't work, just fire them, generally, is my big picture coaching.
Nathaniel Hackett, fire him. After they should have fired him after one game.
So, like, with Billy, I like him. He's definitely like a competent head coach, but like part of his job is like getting more out of Pat. And another part of his job is like putting the best lineups on the floor. And I think he's doing that with Javonte. So far in the preseason, impressed by Billy, even though I would have started Caruso. And now their bench is kind of sick, even without Lonzo. If you're going 8-man rotation, let's talk about this. So you're starting 5 without Lonzo. Is Io, Zach, DeMar, Javonte, Vooch. If you want to go off the bench, your top 3 off the bench are going to be Caruso, Patrick Williams, and Drummond. That's yes. A pretty solid 8-man rotation. Now, if you want to, of course, you don't really play an 8-man rotation in the regular
season. You'll get Kobe, Dragic.
So now you got Dragic, DJJ, and Kobe. So you potentially go 11 deep on this team. I don't know if they're going to play 11 guys. I think there'll be some matchups where DJJ doesn't play. There might be.
There'll be injuries. There'll be nights off. There'll be injuries. Where like you're having like a good top or 11 or 12 is good to have in the regular season. Just with attrition, with injuries, with rest days, it's good to have that kind of depth. Obviously, in the playoffs, you start playing 7 or 8 guys. And those top 8, like if the Bulls do make the playoffs, I think at the top 8 that we mentioned. Is probably their playoff rotation. Maybe we'll see what happens with like Javonte, with like Kobe and Dragic. But I think the top 8 that we mentioned is probably their playoff rotation, I would guess.
Plus Lonzo.
Yes. Lonzo comes in. So then I guess, Javonte, maybe. Obviously, I would play Io over Kobe at this point. I think he's just better. That's way down the line. Anyways, yeah. Like having 11 or 12 good guys is solid guys is nice. I'm like not relying on bums. Like hopefully no Tony Bradley or rare Tony Bradley.
Javonte's got to be a big part of the team. And like I was listening to the Bulls Gold podcast. They had Laro and Chris on. Yeah. Everyone listened to that. That was a really great roundtable discussion with Salim and the rest of the crew there. And they were like, you know, wouldn't it be cool if Javonte could become like Patrick Beverley? Like one of these guys who really carved out like a super solid career for himself after being a journeyman to start his career. And I think why not, baby? he's got the athleticism. He's got the energy and his skills look a little better. And they were pretty good last year, but you know, he was a little too tentative. He was just starting to grow into his skills. Now he's another year more confident in himself, handling the ball, shooting the ball. Javonte is an essential part of this Bulls team. I really think so. And, you know, if they're going to win mid-40s games again, if they're going to make the playoffs without needing to go through the play-in, it will require a big Javonte here. I really think so.
Now, if he's going to be Patrick Beverley, just needs a podcast and some serious trash talk improvement, then he can be Patrick Beverley. Anything else? Any other takeaways? Vooch? I mean, Vooch...
Okay, how about Dragic? So I hated on Dragic.
Yeah.
That signing. You know, I usually think of Dragic as like a score first guard.
Yeah.
Dragic can also like drop some dimes and like organize the offense a little bit in a way that I would say at point guard, he's better than Kobe.
Yes. Right?
Like at like
probably
for teammates. Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't he be? He's got 10 more years of experience.
He's an former all-star. Right. Yeah.
So like I was sort of underrating Dragic's playmaking and facilitating.
Yeah. I mentioned the transition stuff. Like he will look to do that kind of stuff and set guys up in transition.
Even in the half court too.
Yeah, fair.
So like I was a little down on Dragic's like scoring ability and like coming into the year, I would have been like, I would rather see Kobe than Dragic because I think Kobe gives you more shooting and they need shooting. But now after watching preseason, I'm like, I don't know, like maybe Dragic sets the table better. And, you know, the Bulls kind of got some freak athletes with DJJ and with Javonte. Like you don't think of those guys as rollers in the pick and roll because they're not like 7-footers. And Vooch isn't really a roller.
No.
So it's like they don't really have like a lob threat or like a vertical spacer. But like Javonte and DJJ are sort of non-traditional vertical spacers. And maybe Patrick Williams can be too, where you need a good pick and roll playmaker to hit those guys. And I think Dragic can maybe do that. So that's encouraging. And then Drummond should be one of the better backup centers. But what kills me about Drummond is that he just wants to be a guard. So like his like feel for the game has never been super high, I don't think. And he has a motor that sort of runs hot and cold too. Yeah. But like he's only 29. Physically, like he should at least still be a top 40 center, you would think. Maybe better than that.
He looks like he's in better shape.
So yeah, I'm all right with Drummond. And honestly, let Drummond shoot.
Hire away, dude.
I couldn't be more into it. They need shooters.
Right, yeah.
So, like last year, they basically tried to outsource their lack of shooting to Vooch. This year, hopefully it's Vooch does what he's best at, which is operating from the elbows and in the post. Trying to get like deep post position early, not just like pounding the ball to him late in the shot.
Yeah,
the
right.
Post. Like opportunistic post touches for Vooch.
Force doubles, get pass out to open shooters, that kind of stuff. I think just like if you get Zach over there with him, work a Zach two-man game with him, get it to him in the post. If they double on Vooch, Zach is open for threes, stuff like that. Absolutely.
Yeah, and then the shooting, like you said, the shooting needs to come from Io, Javante, and then Zach. Like Zach's got to up the 3-point attempts too. You've been saying that for a while, Jace. Like, yep. Let's see 10
threes. Nine or 10 threes a game. Give it to me.
I'm totally on board with that because Zach's a sick shooter. So, yeah, I love it. Like, they still don't have enough shooting. And that's one thing that scares me a bit.
Yeah.
But, like, it doesn't just have to be Vooch to shoot it. Like, let Javante and Io shoot it.
I mean,
Caruso's a little better from three.
And if this Drummond thing is real. Let him take them if they're open. Like, obviously, if he's literally not making anything in the regular season, then it's like, okay, maybe not. But, like, I mean, those threes looked really good against the Raptors. So, like, if that's actually a thing, let him take one or two a game. Love to get that 3-point rate up, like I said, from somewhere. I made fun of him when they were showing, like, highlights in practice, him shooting threes. And I was like, you know, these NBA players, like, no matter what, can basically hit threes in empty gyms and practice. But, like, so I was like, that doesn't mean anything. He comes out and does that. So if he can keep doing that, fire away, take a few a game. Hopefully, I mean, if he even hit like 30 to 33%, like that's probably not that bad.
That'd be awesome. If he could take two a game and hit 33%, sign me up.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's finish up here. Just so you're a bit more optimistic about where the team is at after this preseason. So what would you like to, I guess, upgrade your win total at all? We went through the schedule at 44. That was before the Lonzo news. Then we were after the Lonzo news, we were kind of down on them coming into them. So where's your head at now for wins?
Yeah.
Where they're going to be here.
Recently, I had said they're a 500 team.
Yes. Yes. I'm sorry.
I think they're going to be a little better than that now. Maybe I'm putting too much stock in the preseason, but I really think like getting the transition game back without Lonzo would really do wonders for them.
Yep.
And the nights when the Bulls are going to be really frustrating are probably the nights when it's DeMar versus the world or Zach versus the world. And they got to get everyone else involved. Are the Bulls deep? Are they like sneaky deep? Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. If Dragic and Drummond do have some left in the tank here.
How about Javante and Io just getting better?
Yeah. If those guys get better really and you better. Have just like a actual like Io, he's like an actual two-way guy. We talked about last year how like Lonzo is like the only like actual two like proven two way guy. If Io becomes that, if Javante is a plus on both ends, like that'd be great. I wouldn't say he's like a great defensive player, but like if he could be at least somewhat good on both ends, like that's huge. I mean, not playing dudes like Matt Thomas or some of the other guys. Like, hopefully the injuries don't hit too much. I always say that every single year, but. Yeah, I mean, maybe the kind of deep. Like I said, I can see now I'm revising up a couple wins, get me to like around where they were last year, 45, 44, 45, 46 in the mid 40s. Like I said, I think it would still, with the East being where it is, how tough it is, like high 40s up to 50 is probably pretty tough with no Lonzo or without Lonzo to whenever he's going to come back early 2023. So like, I don't think I can go there, but like, I feel a bit better about them being decent and at least fun. To watch.
Yeah. And I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Like, just give me a team that doesn't suck to watch. If they could make the second round this year, that would be an awesome achievement.
Yeah, that really would be. That'd be great.
I would love that. You know,
like, especially just like how down we've been about like where the team is at. Like lately it's been like they're gonna be the eight or nine seed. I mean, if it's the nine seed, they'd have to win two play-in games to even get to the eight seed, and then you're probably getting crushed in the first round. Like, I mean, if they somehow get top six and you pull an upset maybe in the first round if Lonzo's healthy. Like, maybe, like I said, I'm not going to say that's going to happen right now.
But I'm high on the Raptors. I'm high on the Cavs. Like, I think there's a lot of good looking teams in the East. So
there's a lot of good teams. So it's going to be tough. Be a
regular season monster.
Yeah.
The Bucks might be the title favorites. Yeah, there's a lot to compete with for sure, but it's going to make for a fun regular season because there's not going to be a lot of like easy games.
Yeah.
Like every game is like, okay, damn, now we got Atlanta. Damn, now we got Cleveland. Damn, now we got, you know, the Knicks. There's just like not going to be a lot of pushover games. So it'll be a fun year. I'm really excited for it.
And speaking of that, the first game of the season is a week from today. We are Wednesday, October 12th. We are recording this right now. From today in Miami. So right away, you are getting a big time team. We know the Bulls had big time troubles against them and Miami's that defense. So it'll be interesting to see how this new look Bulls offense and their transition game, how they perform against that Heat defense that we know is super aggressive, forces a lot of turnovers. Like I said, there were a few games last year where the Bulls didn't look like they belonged anywhere near the same like level as the Heat did a few of those games last year. So hopefully the Bulls come out and compete in that game and can play well and maybe even get a win on the road in Miami to start the season. So we will see. That'll do it for us here, Cash Considerations, with this preseason takeaway podcast. As always, shout out to the Blue Wire Network. If you like what we're doing here at Cash, please, with the NBA season starting, tons of great NBA pods all across the network and a bunch of other great pods as well. For us here at Cash, please rate and review us. Give us those 5-star ratings. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, all those good places. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at Bulls_J. Ricky is at SBN_Ricky. We'll be tweeting about the Bulls all season. Please give us comments, questions, anything. We'll love to answer them on Twitter, on the pod, and all that good stuff. So, again, this has been Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We'll talk to you guys next time.
This is last year's Bulls. It's not last year's Bulls, ladies and gentlemen.